In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, the church, the Western church, has called this Sunday Rogate. It's Latin, and I think you will know what it means if you listen carefully. Rogate. Hear this. Jesus says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So now you know a little Latin, right? Rogate is Latin for ask, pray. It is what prayer is, petition. Hello, I'm Christopher, and I struggle with prayer. I struggle asking. I struggle with a desire to pray at times. I don't want to do it sometimes. I struggle with the faith that boldly believes that my prayer is actually heard. God actually exists. I struggle to believe that sometimes. And why would he want to hear from me above all people? I struggle because I too often ask for the things that God has not promised me, and way, way too little ask for the things that God has promised me. I struggle in asking. Your whole life, every single minute, is meant to live in perfect communion with God. His words are matching perfectly up with your ears, his will and his words matching perfectly up with your thoughts and your deeds, and your words matching perfectly up with his ears. That is the way life is meant to be, and that is the way the resurrection will be, and it will be wonderful. And it is the way Adam and Eve had it. But when they sinned, they hid from God. God's words were no longer exactly comforting for them, they thought. They were accusing. They were condemning. Their words, they feared, God didn't care to hear from them because they had just broken everything. Would you want to speak to someone after you just burned down their house? It is fear of judgment, shame, guilt, fear of everything, making excuses above everything that makes you not want to talk to them, and it makes you not want to hear from them. Because if you hear from them, they're going to give it to you. Why would you want to talk to them for that too? Fear, dear saints, is the primary reason why we struggle with prayer. It is the primary reason that we struggle with asking. And perhaps it isn't always characterized as fear. Perhaps it's more characterized with something like this. If I listen to God, if I talk to God, then he might take away the fun that I'm having. He might tell me something that I don't like to hear. If I pray to him, then I have to acknowledge so many different things. I have to acknowledge, one, that I'm not independent. It's not just me in this world. I have to acknowledge, two, that I question him. I don't get why he says what he says sometimes. I don't get that if he is the creator and ruler, then why is this happening to them? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand him. I have to acknowledge, three, that he told me to trust him, and I'm not always sure that he is exactly trustworthy. I have to acknowledge, four, that I don't actually know what's best for me. I am actually commending myself to him, saying he knows what's best, and I think I know what's best. I have to acknowledge, five, that he actually exists, that he is there, that my whole life is an open book. I can't run, I can't hide, and I have to acknowledge, six, the fear, the true fear, that if I cry to him, if I acknowledge my pain and my sorrow, then I'm scared that he's going to ignore me, and I'm going to end up worse than I would have if I just would have ignored him. we have to acknowledge that we sometimes think that our Lord's command and invitation to pray, we think, is a trick. After all, he says, "Ask in my name, and I will give it to you." And how many times have you asked, and he hasn't given? More on that in a little bit. Dear saints, your whole life is meant to be in perfect communion with God. But that's not your description. That isn't how your week has gone. That isn't how your month or your years have gone. You haven't lived in perfect communion with God, and so there is a fear that if you start now, he's going to be angry. Jesus gathers us today as his church, and he wants you to hear every day that when he tells you to ask, to pray, to seek communion with him, that it is all on the basis of this wonderful first phrase that Jesus introduces with prayer in our reading. He says, in that day. That day. That day is the primary reason that you can pray. That day that Jesus took all of your sins away. That day that Jesus proved that no matter how many times you don't want full communion with him, he wants full communion with you. That day that when you acknowledge that you question him, he promises you that he does know what is best. He loves you. He forgives you. You are washed in his blood, blood that he has really died for. Shed for you. You, right there in the pew, your sins are forgiven. God is at peace with you. He desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth that God is at peace with them. He desires that they all know that he gave his son as a ransom for us all, the perfect testimony given at the proper time. That is the evidence that you can pray to him. That is the witness. He did not wait for you to give evidence of your love for him. He didn't wait for you to give your evidence of being sorry for not living in full communion. He testifies of his love for you by blotting out all the accusations of the law, all the condemnations, and imparting his very own life. He does not wait for you to come to him. He doesn't wait for you not to be afraid of him. He speaks to you first, and he says, "Peace be with you." And he prays. Your Jesus prays. He prays perfectly. And he does it for you. Your God did not wait for you to come to him first. He came to you. And he comes seeking you. And he shows you his face. It is the face of a man dying, the face of a man risen from the dead, saying, "Peace be with you." The face of the man that says, "The Father himself loves you." Do you know what wonderful truth that is? The Father himself loves you. It is true. The Father himself loves you, Jesus says, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So don't run and don't hide. Seek communion with him. You have nothing, nothing to be afraid. So ask. Ask for the silly stuff. Ask for the big stuff. Ask for yourself and ask for others. And here's where I want you to take a moment. And I want you to picture someone that you don't like. I know it's really hard. Really hard, right? Picture a couple of people, right? Picture maybe someone you don't like just today. Maybe you normally love them. Or picture someone that you don't like consistently. And then hear these wonderful words, because this teaches us how to pray. This is from our second reading from 1 Timothy. It gives us a wonderful template for prayer. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Prayer is wonderfully good for that person that you're picturing. And prayer is wonderfully good for you. Those four words right there, they are technical words. They have specific definitions. They are four different ways of praying. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. So you picture your person, you picture your enemy, you picture the person that you don't like, and you make a supplication. That is, you say, "Dear Jesus, take away the bad that they have in their life." And this helps you acknowledge that they have bad in their life. You have bad in your life. And many people can't even get down to the depths of the bad that you have in your life. The way you feel about yourself, the things that are going on in your family and in your work. There are so many people that cannot get to the root of the bad that is in their life. And when you make a supplication for someone that you don't like, you have to acknowledge that they have so much bad in their life too. Bad that you cannot root out. They are in a fallen world. They are sinners and they need help. They have a lot of bad. "Dear Jesus, my enemy, the person I'm not liking right now, the person that has hurt me, please take away that bad." That's a supplication. And then you say a prayer for them. That is, you say, "Dear Jesus, give them something good. They need it. They cannot live without you. Everybody has their moving and their living in you. Give them what they need. Give them the good. You give me so much good that I don't acknowledge they need good to function for their family. They need good to be their best in their body and soul and in their family and in their work. Dear Jesus, give them some good." And then you make an intercession. This is the priestly work of the Christian. That is, when you have two parties, that if there's something in between the two parties, that there's the wonderful gift of something coming in between to mediate. Your Jesus, when he intercedes, knows that God has something against you. And he stops and he says, "You shouldn't have anything against them. It's all blotted out. I died for them. I intercede for them. I am the high priest." So when you intercess for others, you say, "Dear Jesus, you have died for them. Take away their sins. They are a sinner like me. They are a sinner like the people that I love so much. Dear Jesus, take away their sin. They need it. They need your forgiveness. They need a clean conscience. They need to know that God is at peace with them so that they might begin to live a life that is at peace with God." And then there is the thanksgivings. And this does two things. One, it takes away all jealousy that you could have had. Because you look at that person who has more money than you. You look at that person who has better health than you. You look at that person who has more success than you. You look at that person that has the things that you want. And you have to say, "Dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving them that." They wouldn't have had it if God had not given them. I can't be angry at them. If I want to be angry at somebody because they have it, I should be angry at you. But how can I be angry at you? You're not angry at me, and you love me, and you forgive me. So thank you for giving them those things. And thank you for giving them to their family. Because maybe I don't like them, but somebody does. Maybe I'm not feeling them right now, but there's so many people that do depend upon them. Thank you for giving them in this world. They were made in your image. They were redeemed by the blood of your Son. They are a gift. They wouldn't exist without being a gift to so many in this life. So do that. Make your supplications, make your prayers, make your intercessions, and make your thanksgivings. And do it all in the name of Jesus. Not just using those phrases, not just using those four words, in the name of Jesus. That is not what Jesus is getting at. But you do your prayers living in the promises of the names of Jesus, living in the way that Jesus has given you his name. So find a name of God in the Bible and pray in those promises. And here's the thing. You're not going to find this name. O great and wonderful giver of the lottery. He's not promised to give you the lottery. He hasn't given you that name. You won't hear this. O wonderful promiser of promotion. O assurance of an NBA Finals victory. If he gave you those names, he would promise to give you those. But he hasn't given you those names. He is not a vending machine that you can plug in and expect to get what you want. But he does give promises. And when he gives you a promise, he promises to give them. And his promises are found in his name. When you say, Dear Jesus, you are praying to the name that means Savior. The one who saves you from your sins. Dear Jesus, I am burdened by my conscience today. Give me salvation. Give me forgiveness. Amen. And the answer is yes, because his name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, Emmanuel, I am lonely. I am frightened. You have promised never to leave me or forsake me. Oh, Emmanuel, please. Please visit me, relieve me, and heal me. You are God with me. You are the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. You promise wisdom, and I gotta say, I don't know what's best. So give me your counsel. It is why on the front of your bulletin, I have given you a bit of a template. There's better ones out there, but maybe not better ones for the bulletin. Go find yourself a poster that has all the names of God or some of the names of God and have that be the way that you pray. Because if there is a name, then there is a promise. He is the everlasting Father. He promises to love you, his child. He promises to provide you for his child. And this we can see because we have fathers and we have mothers, and they can begin to mirror this wonderful love. I feel as if I'm an expert on this because I have four children myself, but maybe not quite. When your child falls and gets hurt, I think there are two reasons why they cry. One, because of pain. It really does hurt to fall. But two, because it's scary. They fear. It is why when mommy and daddy pick a child up, they feel better. It is why when you put a Band-Aid on an ouchie, they feel better. Does that take away the pain? No. But it does take away the fear. So you come today in your life and you have two things going on. One, you have real pain, real sickness, real conflict in your family, real problems going on in the world. But two, you also have fear. How's this all going to end? Where's this going to go? How am I going to survive? How's my family going to get through this? And your Jesus today, when you get gathered for church, when you get fed his body and his blood, when you hear the absolution, what you are getting is the removal of your fear. He might not take away the pain, the sickness, the conflict, but he does remove the fear. He promises that you have nothing to fear in the one who created you, the one who redeemed you, the one who makes you holy, the one who provides for you. He gives you so many names, so many promises, so many reasons that you have nothing to fear in this life except for Him. And then when you fear Him, you realize that He is not scary. So you pray in His name, you pray in His promises, you pray for the Prince of Peace. You pray to the One who is the way, the truth, the life, the vine, the vine dresser, the light of the world, the bright morning star, the King of Kings, the bread of heaven, the living water, and so many more. And when you pray in those names, the answer is always yes. Hi. I'm Christopher, and I struggle with prayer. But God has given me, and He has given you, so many promises. And that's why we grow together in asking. In Jesus' name, amen.